Greater LA from KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis, and now this message about the Los Angelification of New York City, as described in the New York Times.
It's a balmy January afternoon. You buy an avocado and pickled turnip sandwich from Jelena and some legal weed at a high-end smoke shop. After popping by a Fred Siegel boutique, you meet friends for early cocktails under the trees at San Vicente Bungalows. It's an ideal Los Angeles day, and soon you won't have to leave Manhattan for it. New York City may think of itself as singular, but it's increasingly possible to live the LA lifestyle here without the inconvenience of a cross-country flight.
Ugh. Well, for one, it's not balmy in LA at the moment, quite the opposite. And second, the essay in the New York Times seems to once again paint LA as some kind of moronic, monolithic morass of ridiculous. With us to discuss today this never-ending genre of article is longtime Angeleno, author and columnist Pat Morrison. Hi, Pat.
It's even funnier when you hear it.
Well, the reporter, this guy, he's a reporter. His name is Michael Grinbaum. And he prefaces his essay, the audio portion of this essay, with, you know, I was walking down the street in Manhattan and I saw Fred Siegel. And that's, you know, it got me thinking that maybe this is more New York becoming Los Angeles. But he gets into some pretty gnarly, I mean, you know, it's one of those, I guess you could call it, you know, cliches about L.A.
He brought them all out. You know, there's the marijuana. There's the avocado. You know, there's the weather. Did he leave anything out? No, he's got the palm trees, too. Okay, he's got the palm trees.
He's got them in there.
It just read like a parody, and it's not Los Angeles. It's a half dozen zip codes in Los Angeles of people who have six or seven figure incomes. And maybe he's talking about that kind of New York as well, because you know Los Angeles, Steve. I know Los Angeles. This is the anomalous Los Angeles. It's not the living, actual, breathing Los Angeles.
I mean, he talks about shaman.
Isn't a shaman just a life coach with a shaggy headdress with horns on it?
Well, no,
like that guy at the Capitol.
I don't know a shaman.
I don't know anybody who has a shaman. I've never had a matcha Negroni. I don't know anyone with a vegan mattress. Who are these people?
Yeah. I mean, who is he speaking to? And by the way, I don't want to just single out this reporter, who I'm sure whose intentions were good, maybe. But what about the New York Times? I mean, we see this over and over again where they just consistently get it wrong.
And fall into the same tiresome cliches. And there are reasons that LA is the way it is. It was designed to be a horizontal city because it didn't want to be like New York. It didn't want, you know, crowded apartment sections. It did want to spread out and give people elbow room. I mean, years ago, I interviewed Ed Ruscha, the artist, about artists in New York versus here. And he said, look, one of the things that worked here is that everybody was kind of off in their own neighborhoods doing their own things. So they didn't paint the same picture. And when they did happen to come together, they got to socialize and compare. They weren't looking over one another's shoulder. And, you know, New York, I mean, it doesn't matter how rich you are. You can't buy quiet in New York.
No, it's a different beast.
And it's pretty hard to get your head around sometimes. And maybe that's intimidating for New Yorkers who have a, you know, pretty clearly platted city with easy transit systems. It's you have to be brave and bold to learn Los Angeles, as you and I know.
And by the way, this isn't, you know, we're not going after New York either. It's just a different place.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because a couple other writers, David Ulin and Lisa C. and I, were on Twitter saying that this is the equivalent if we were to go to New York and write about, the tall buildings and, all the people wearing black clothes and, as you said, walking with their heads down. And
right.
Out here, yes, we dine early. Maybe it's because our forebears were farmers and movie stars and you have to get up early to do those jobs. But, I mean, here you've got a park in your backyard if you're lucky. You've got a neighborhood that you've chosen. And it's its own thing, as you say. It's a place that a lot of people want to live for a lot of those reasons.
Do you think it's one of those things, Pat, that the New York Times wants some, you know, maybe some outrage clicks, you know, like some, let's get people really talking about this. Did they do this? I mean, obviously they did it with intention, but did they do it for that intention?
Oh, I don't think the New York Times would stoop to clicks, Steve, but obviously, no, obviously you want readers. And they have a big circulation here in Los Angeles, in Southern California. So there's a sense of maybe some outreach that, you know, hey, what you guys got going there, it's starting to happen in New York, too. It's just that the things that they chose were such a niche of the life of Los Angeles that that's what made it risible.
Do you think this article gets anything right about L.A.? I mean, obviously, people do go for cocktails at, you know, a place on San Vicente. People, there are probably folks who do have a personal shaman or, you know, yoga instructor or whatever it may be.
Oh, absolutely. And Steve, you and I know that for decades, Los Angeles has been the cradle of a lot of things, of culture, of politics, all sorts of trends and creations that have spread all over the country. And so maybe New York is saying we were the last bastion of not being Los Angeles. And look, here's Los Angeles lapping at our doors. I'm using a rain metaphor today because that's on my mind.
And as we wrap up today, Pat, our conversation, maybe an ode to New York from a very famous line from a movie of many years past, from the old Ghostbusters movie. Should we hear it?
Let's listen.
Being miserable and treating other people like dirt is every New Yorker's God-given right.
Oh, that's great.
Pat Morrison, columnist, wearer of fabulous hats, of course. Thanks for coming on and talking with us about this very, very important subject.
Always a delight, Steve.
That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, two Holocaust survivors reunite in Orange County. We'll have that story tomorrow. You can visit us online at the website, kcrw.com/GLA. While you're there, subscribe to the podcast, too. And, of course, listen to KCRW for the latest on the weather throughout the day and these next storm systems coming in, too. Juliana Mayo, Zeke Reed, Sonia Geis, Phil Rickards, Amy Ta, Carlos Ramirez, Holly Adams, and Christian Bordall all helped put the episode together this evening. I'm Steve Chintakis. Have a great night. Stay dry.